The following program may contain language. Discretion is advised.
How happy are you with your performance tonight?
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
I've been waiting 31 months to get on this damn mic and to call these people out right now. It's my time to shine. So Miley Cyrus, will you be my Valentine?
I'm so f***ing happy. Viva Mexico, man! Viva Mexico! Conor McGregor, surprise, surprise! There's a new king in the lightweight division.
Juliana Pena, you just shook up the world.
I'm not surprised, motherfucker!
Everybody, I come here for everybody. Kill everybody! I'm the champ, I'm the king, kill everybody!
Go ahead and excuse my friends, but f*** you and f*** them.
You know me saying, lad, I'm a scouser. We don't get knocked out.
And everybody, thank you. And this is still my boy.
This is not over.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are the Weigh-Ins Brothers. I am Little Brady Wedham. This is the Notorious T.I.D.
Chris Tidwell.
There we go. I was hoping you'd pull that in. And we're taking a look at a few things. We're taking a look at Tough is Back. And we're also taking a look at the UFC Fight Night, June 3rd, this Saturday coming up. Now, Chris, I know when we started this show originally, back a few months ago, our whole game plan was, hey, we're going to talk about UFC. But we got one of the biggest Tough, I think the biggest Tough ever since the very first season, is on the air now. What did you think about the first episode?
It's crazy when you think about it, because Tough has been around. This is number 31. We've been through 30 seasons already of this show. And it kind of hit this point where it was like, if you could name me, you know, who won Tough number 17 or 23, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of hit some lulls where everybody was kind of like, I'm just going to kick back because it's been the same formula. Mm-hmm. This one here is still that formula, but the look and just the drama with who they have, the fact that they've brought back veterans and prospects to do this, the way that they pick the teams, the way the house is fucking smoking, you know what I mean? All of that stuff made this season. Like, I watched the first episode and I said that, you know, we're going to do this because of the show coming back. And that's why we're coming back with this show and me getting back to an MMA show. And I was like, yep, no, I'm going to check this out and I'm going to give it an honest review. And I, for one, can honestly say that I am excited. I'm excited about what's going to happen with this season, because you don't just have that typical house with just all a bunch of young bucks trying to get in. You have a house with a bunch of guys that have been there that can guide these guys properly, or they can F them in the A to get their own spot, because that's going to be a thing too. Because you think about it, some of these fighters, man, this is how excited I am, Brady. I'm just amped up. I'm wired up about this thing. You've got a guy, for example, and we're going to get to the teams, but I'm going to say one name to you, Brad Katona. Brad Katona is a guy who happens to be on Team Chandler this year, but in real life, outside of taping of this TV show, he's an SBG. He is a Conor teammate. So you've already got a mole in the mix, possibly, and we're only one episode in.
And he's a Conor OG teammate.
Oh, like, yes,
he's been
absolutely
around there. He won a former, if anyone doesn't know who we're talking about, he won a former Tough.
Yeah, Brad Katona is a former winner of this very thing. Right. It didn't, you know, go out so well for him once he got in there, you know, but
it was a weak season to begin with.
He's back. He's back again. And this actually, you know, Jason Knight, another guy. But anyways, that's what I thought. The entire first episode was great. Yep. The way that let's kind of break this down a little bit. What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with fighters?
Let's start right off from the beginning of the show. So the beginning of the show opens up. They give a little breakdown on who your coaches are. If anybody doesn't know, if you've been living under a rock, Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Opens up. Chandler's just hanging out in the weight room at the Apex Center, waiting for Conor to come in. Cameras are kind of peering behind the weight machines, in a sense. They want to catch this meet for the first time on camera. Conor walks in, looking 200 pounds, with a suit that looks like it was painted on his body. And he goes up, and automatically I thought they were going to, because they have a mutual respect for each other and they've been open in the media saying this. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to walk up and kind of just shake hands and say, let's have a good season. No, sir, that is not what happened. Connor walked in the room and did what he tries to do with anybody. Whether mm-hmm. you're an alpha male or not, he owned the fucking room and told him, you'll do what I tell you.
Yeah, here's the thing. And I will say this. I will preface everything that I say going forward with this. It's TV. So definitely. Editing is key. You know what I mean? And they edited this thing perfectly. They've got this fine-tuned. They've got this down now. So when Connor came in with a full head of hair that looks just silly to me, you know what I mean, with his sprayed on suit, and you know, they did their little back and forth, and Connor basically finished the whole thing off with, you know, telling Michael Chandler, you know, I'm walking around, we're going to do this thing at 185. And Michael Chandler right away, without missing a beat, was like, you want to do 185? I'll do 185. No problem. Yep. And yep. Connor, you know, says right there, a perfect editing job of Connor just saying, you'll do what you're told.
Yeah.
Now, I find it hard to believe that that would be the end of the interaction, but that was definitely the end of the editing.
That right? was the end of our interaction.
Absolutely. And I think that you're going to get to see a lot more as they play this out. They start off nice and slow. You know what I mean? A cordial kind of like a mutual respect, but not too close. They're not chumming it up. They're not slapping hands. No. We don't want that from Connor. We want Connor in his like just his worst. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you. I'm a huge Connor mark, and it was cringy and hard to watch the lead up to the Habib, and it was hard to watch the second or the third fight with Poirier. I don't like that Connor that's completely drunken on all the juice. I want half juice, half drunk Connor, which comes in there on point.
I want old Nate Diaz.
I want Floyd Mayweather Connor.
I want exactly.
Yes.
Just straight cocaine, no alcohol.
I think you found the perfect cocktail, my friend. Just straight cocaine, no alcohol, and no HBH.
This is what I'm saying, right?
Wow. So now, is he, before we move forward, is he actually putting the steroids in his arm, his butt, or his chin?
Yes.
Okay. All three. All right.
Because if you're not in the pool, you know, and even though they teased at the beginning that fight is going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen without exemption because you're supposed to have 6 months in the pool before you can fight.
And they said
you're given exemption. If you were to enter 2 weeks ago or whatever into the pool, he's not fighting until the beginning of next year at this point.
Well, they said they were going to originally, when they announced the season, they were looking for August. It sounds like they're trying to put that on the Usman and Boris fight. So that's supposed to be the main event. The secondary, the co-main would be Usman versus Khamzat. So that would be the fucking pay-per-view of the year, no doubt about it, when it comes to buys. It doesn't matter, whenever they do it, it's going to be the pay-per-view of the year when it comes to buys, for sure.
We already know that. We already know that because everybody's going to want to see the return of Conor McGregor. It doesn't matter what his record is. It doesn't matter who he's fighting. Everybody wants to see this guy for some reason, right?
And that's a pay-per-view they can fill and sell out without even a championship fight.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about this now.
So for anybody that doesn't know the show itself, we've got a whole group of legends in a sense that were passed on. So we went through the UFC and had their veteran status, whether that was a couple years or 10 years type thing. Then we have a group of young individuals that have never seen the octagon before outside of walking into the Apex Center. So where are we at with these teams? Who are some notable names from both sides that you could throw out here?
So this is the one thing that I did like is they did the coin flip. They did the coin flip on who got to pick first and what they, but it wasn't a first pick per person. It was like, if you're taking it per group. So you've got lightweights and you've got bantamweights and you've got eight guys from each. So four and four, you've got four prospects at lightweight. You've got four veterans at lightweight. Same with the bantamweight class. So what they did, Connor wins, and I liked this move. Connor was like, it was slick. He was like, I'm gonna take those prospects right out the gate.
I want the young, hungry,
guys that remind me of me, right? Also, I don't have to deal with a bunch of like already been there bullshit attitudes that is going to come to surface throughout the season.
And guys that very well could have had a target on Connor at one point as well. Like that was their guy that they wanted to fight eventually. So it's it was a very smart move on Connor's end. It was a slick move, and this is why he's a salesman. He knows what he's doing. That's half TV, half motivation, right? So,
and so in doing so, Chandler ends up with the veterans.
Yes.
And then so because he gets the first pick for the second round, Chandler takes the other group of veterans. So we've got an entire season set up of prospects versus veterans. This couldn't get any more like written any better.
Let's say if it was the reversal, I actually think Connor would have thrown a wrench in there and taken the veterans and had a group of young and had a group of old just to fuck with Chandler, right? Just to make everything so fucking, but it's perfect now. It is laid out perfect. You got a group of young kids versus a group of wily guys. So
yeah. So some of the older guys, some of the vets that have been around in there, like you've got, you know, Jason Knight, who's already been down the road, 30 years old with a record of 23-7. You've got Austin Hubbard, 31 years old with a record of 15-6. You've got Roosevelt Roberts, who fought on this first episode, right? 28 years old with a record of 12-3 with a no contest in there. Kurt Holabaugh, 36 years old, getting a little long in the tooth to be fighting, but he's got a record of 19-7. You know what I mean? It's crazy when you say that, right? Because I hear you chuckle. Well, 36 years old is not an old age.
I was chuckling at the tooth comment. The tooth comment was great. And one thing that I just picked up that I never really kind of picked up when I was watching the show is all those records are winning records.
Yeah,
they're not balanced. Absolutely. They're winning records.
Absolutely. Well, Roosevelt Roberts, you know, fast hands, big, probably the tallest guy in the competition, yeah, I think. You know what I mean? So he's and then you got to talk about the bantamweights. I mentioned Brad Katona already. Here's a guy who's already won it. He's only 31 years old. His record is 12-2. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like why he's gone from there, I don't know. Like some of these guys that they got rid of in the first place, I think it was a matter of they just had too many people on the roster.
It shows you the talent pool too. Yeah. It's just so, so vast.
Timur Valiyev, who went on, he had 4 fights in the UFC, 1 no contest, 2 wins, and 1 loss. And then that was it. It was done. Mm-hmm. It was like, what the hell? And his no contest was something that he had lost, but it was overturned because the other guy was high on the cannabis.
Ooh.
You know, Cody Gibson, 35 years old veteran, like 19-8. Like, you know, we're talking about guys. And then you look at some of the prospects. Now let's look at the prospects for a second. Lee Hammond, 27 years old, with the lowest record in all of this competition at 5-0, unbeaten guy, right? But he's the most inexperienced guy in the professionals ranks. Nate Jennerman, who we talked about, who fought in this first episode, 29 years old with a record of 16-5, a submission machine coming into this show.
Actually, Aaron one of the guys I was going to put my money behind.
Right. Aaron McKenzie, 34 years old, again, getting up there in that age, you know what I mean? Doesn't fight that often, or maybe came into the game a little late, who knows, because he's only got a record of 11-2. Landon Quiones, 27 years old, he's got a record of 7-1-1. So these are, you know what I mean? You've got some guys with not a lot of experience, but then you got guys, like I said, like Jennerman, who's got, you know, 21 fights under his belt. You got a bantamweight guy by the name Mando Gutierrez. 26 years old, 8-2. That guy looks like he's going to be a killer. You know what I mean? Trevor Wells, 27 years old with a record of 8-3. Carlos Vera, 35 years old. Rico Desculio, 36 years old. Both of these guys with like an 11-2, 11-3 record. So even as prospects, these guys got experience.
Yeah.
They're not prospects in the sense that like they're just coming out of like, you know, their amateur careers. They're prospects in the sense that they've never been inside of that octagon. That UFC octagon, whereas these other guys have, right? They've already been exposed because we all talk about it before, the way that the lights hit you as soon as you step in there and you see the people and the lights. And you may have done this on bigger shows. You may have done this on a bigger, you know, not a bigger arena, but like with more people sitting there than you would maybe at the Apex
in different
Center.
Areas of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
But for some reason, some of these guys, and it's like you see that banner, the UFC, and you see all the cameras now. You see this worldwide stage camera work being, you know, shot on you right then and there. And some people tend to fold under this pressure. So this is going to be really, really good. I'm more interested, and I hate to say this for the first time, I'm interested to see what happens inside of the house because of the mix of prospects and people that have been there already.
And did you notice, I don't know, like about the last few seasons, I know since Junie Browning was in the house, they don't keep as much alcohol in there as they usually do. Well, now that Connor's on board, there is proper 12 in every corner of that house.
Proper 12 and the new Apple proper
the Apple
12 as well that I'm very interested in trying. So, hey,
so,
Connor.
So it's a proper 12. Let's get Connor, a bottle over
yeah,
here.
Yes, send a couple of cases.
Connor, remember that conversation we had back a few years ago? You liked my shoes. Remember that? You're such a nice guy. I took all those nice pictures for you for Huffington Post. Reach out. Send a bottle to your boys, the Wayans brothers.
Sounds simple enough to me.
I looked into the camera, and this is an audio podcast. It shows you how much dedication I had there.
It's fantastic. I turned on all of my lights and have my camera open, and I'm still doing this for an audio podcast.
So getting into the first fight here because it looks like we're going to get one fight per episode,
right?
Which is the norm. If there's a boring one, I could see them doing two, but the norm is one fight per episode. So who's our first fight?
First fight that we had, this was Nate Jennerman and Roosevelt Roberts.
Yes.
And this was a fight that I thought was going to be a lot more of a competitive fight, to be honest with you, than it was, because you looked at this coming in and Nate Jennerman, you know what I mean? They do this nice little write-up. They talk about his family. They play all the right things. You talk about his career. And if you look at his career, you know what he's done, a lot of stuff, very good submission guy, very busy, teaches all the time, still has time to go train though. And he's going up against a guy in Roosevelt Roberts, who's been down this road, has had great fights already in the UFC, if we remember correctly.
He's an exciting fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So he's had, what do we got? Like, I'm looking very quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights already.
Yeah.
Right. In the UFC on big cards in front of a lot of people.
He's had fantastic finishes, and he's had some nasty finishes.
Nasty finishes, like a, you know, spinning wheel kick by Bahamondes that just like turned out the lights. And he says it, he talks about it. He was at the end of his contract, and he was like, my head just was not in it. Well, your head also wasn't on your shoulders with that one, son.
That's one of the nastiest knockouts of the year.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that reminds you of like
Uriah.
Exactly.
Hey, me and you are in sync, my friend. We're the Wayans brothers for a reason.
You know what I'm
just
saying?
Just because we're from different mothers doesn't mean we're not the same Wayans brothers.
It's unbelievable what that can do to a person. You know what I mean? You've got to be able to come back from stuff. And that's what he did. He got right back out there, got a couple of wins out there in like LXF and Eagle FC. And now he's back in this. He's got his head on straight. And sometimes you just got to take a couple of steps back. This guy, being as long as he is, having the hands and the speed that he has, if he can keep these fights standing up, I think you're going, you know, you've got a very good potential at a winner of this thing in Roosevelt Roberts.
And if anybody's a fight fan, he even alluded to it in one of his interviews, but you got to win like a champion and you got to lose like a champion, right? So you cannot become a great fighter without winning and losing. It's just part of the fucking game.
If you spend your entire career winning and don't know what losing is like, you're going to build up this fear of it that is going to cause you to not fight at your peak potential. It's going to cause you to fight, for lack of a better term, like GSP did at the end of his career, where you're just fighting to not lose. Not fighting to win.
Or your ego becomes so shattered after that first loss that you can never even look like you should have ever been back in the octagon again. And we call that the Ronda Rousey syndrome.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And it's a shame. It's a shame that people can get taken out of it, you know, mentally like that.
Yep.
Right. But I'm excited. We'll wait and see what happens. They locked that cage door when this fight happened. And
we're about over. That's about done.
It took about 9 seconds. That's it. Like, they might as well have just had the guy stand on the platform waiting to unlock that cage to let everybody back in. Not even lock the cage, really.
I think they never confirmed it, but I'm pretty sure they did say that may have been the fastest knockout in Tough history.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
When it comes to the Tough House.
So then we finish off with a little bit of a preview of what's to come in the season. And here's the thing that I like that we didn't mention up to this point, Brady. I like the fact that Connor got in there during the training. He's yes. in there with the guys. He's throwing hands. He's throwing kicks. He's sparring. Whereas Michael Chandler took the guys and he's like, I want to see what you look like when you roll. I want to see what you look like when you do this. I want to see what you look like when you do that. Whereas Connor was like, put on your mitts, put on your headgear. We're going to throw hands for a bit.
Now, does this sound crazy? Am I completely wrong? But I think Michael Chandler, if you look at both of their careers, Connor's career and Michael Chandler's career, I think Michael Chandler is more battle damaged. I don't think he can afford to be able to go in there with a bunch of guys and train like the same way Connor can. Connor's leg is healed. We know he's good. He's got all the juice in the system. He was dropping guys in right. those sparring sessions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You can hear it.
Here's like, the thing. I think that Michael Chandler took more punches to the head in his last fight than Connor has taken ever. In his entire career. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chandler's a guy who puts his bites down on the mouthpiece, tucks that chin and goes out there and throws bombs at you in that first, you know, round and a half.
And he's had a long career.
Absolutely. Some of those wars with the Pitbull brothers and stuff like that back in Bellator,
yep.
they take a lot out of you. Those guys are studs.
If you're just a UFC fan, you know that obviously because they've said it 100 times that Michael Chandler had a career, a very, very, very profitable career before he yep. came to the UFC. But he has always fought this way, yep. like a ruthless savage. He just yep. the fact that he even still has a chin baffles me.
Unbelievable. And Connor's a boxer. Connor, yeah, you know exactly. what I mean? Connor's going to step on the outside and he's going to pitter patter and he's going to hit you with that boom, boom, boom. And then that left comes over the top and it's you'll wake up going, thank you for the paycheck. You know what I mean?
Without telling you everything that went through the credits, because we've pretty much given you the whole episode so far. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it because it is fantastic. Should we make a prediction on who we think would win right in this fight right now? Like, let's say they fought in that house that first night after that first episode. Who
are we talking about? Chandler?
We're talking Chandler and Connor. Who
and
wins
Connor?
That fight?
Connor does.
Yeah, so do I think.
I think Connor wins that fight because I think that Michael Chandler is not, he's not a counter fighter. He's not a counter boxer. He's going to do, just like I said, he's going to tuck that chin, bite that mouthpiece, and come out there and go forward. And we know that this is Connor's bread and butter. You yep. go back to his first fight with Jose Aldo. Anybody that comes at him, Chad Mendez, anybody that comes at him looking
Dustin
to try to get
time.
In close, anybody that comes in, ding, he taps him. Now, yep. the difference being is that this isn't at 145, and this isn't even at 155. You know what I mean? Although it's probably going to be by the time it's all said and done. Who knows? Maybe this is where we get to see that 165 situation come into play. Who
I'm
knows? We don't even know. Either way, Connor's proven that even at 155, he doesn't have that same kind of power that he had at 145. Mm-hmm. He still has that pinpoint accuracy, but he doesn't have the power to drop somebody with one shot the way that he did. So will he be able to do that? You know, he's going to have to hit Chandler like he did. This fight has to be pretty much like the Eddie Alvarez fight.
Yep.
Where he basically just tattoos his face, you know, until Eddie's face gives.
He's out-techniquing. He's got to out-technique him.
100%. Because he's not going to outpower Michael Chandler.
Now, do you want to run down the fight night card this upcoming Saturday real quick?
Yeah, so there is a fight night. We are not going to be doing a parlay over this one because it is just a fight night. Coming up after next week's episode, there will be a pay-per-view that we will be talking about, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this fight night coming up this week because the main event is a kind of an underappreciated main event, if you ask me, because Kai Kara France is a guy who's super exciting to watch fight. Amir Albazi, also super exciting to watch. So this is going to be a fight, you know what I mean? A flyweight fight main event where you got guys just buzzing around 125 pounds. I'm excited about that main event. And you're like, okay, whatever. Right. But then you look at the rest of the card. If you've got it, you got it there.
Bruce Leroy's here.
Bruce Leroy and Daniel Pineda is going to be slick because Alex Caceres, Bruce Leroy, is really starting to come into his own. You know what I mean? He's matured inside of the octagon. We've watched him mature inside of the octagon, and it's been fantastic. And so every time he comes out, I have a hard time betting against him, honestly.
I never do. Here's the thing about him. He started off so strong, and then he got complacent. He got his money, and then I don't know what was going on in his personal life. But over the past year and a half, 2 years now, he's really built his resume back up again. And I'm glad to see him in a co-main event, whether it's a pay-per-view or a fight night. I'm glad to see it.
100%.
Blue Shree Lloyd, that's going to be probably fight of the night, I would assume.
Jared Gordon just coming back, ends up clearing concussion protocol early so he can take this fight against a man who was, he's been in the UFC since it was just called You.
Yep.
Like, that's how long this dude has been around.
He outlasted his brother.
And he wants to fight in UFC, what is it, UFC 300.
Yeah.
He's saying he wants to fight before calling it a career.
And he will.
And here's a guy, Jim Miller, 35 wins, 17 losses. Like, that's unbelievable.
And what is it, like 28 submissions or something? Like, it's something outrageous. I don't have his record up in front of me, but yeah, Jim Miller is just...
No matter the outcome, I love me some Jim Miller.
Everybody loves Jim Miller.
How can you not, right?
The company loves Jim Miller. Jim Miller goes, he's almost like a Cowboy Cerrone. He's there until he decides to just ride off into the sunset, no pun intended.
Absolutely. Then you've got Tim Elliott back fighting. Again, another flyweight fight. So we've got some smaller fights. We've got lightweights. We've got flyweights. You know what I mean? All this so far, he's taken on Victor Altamirano. This is going to be a fight because we all know Tim Elliott's footwork. We all know how, you know, he's got that Dominic Cruz kind of like back and forth. He's very slick with his boxing, right? So this is going to be a very, very good fight. Women fighting in Karine Silva and Ketlyn Souza. I mean, again,
who's Ketlyn Souza? I've never heard of this.
Ketlyn Souza, she's coming off. This is her debut.
Okay. That's why
I believe. Yeah, absolutely. So a hell of a fighter.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Hell of a fighter. Give me one quick second here because I'm going to do. Where are you, Ketlyn? Where are you? She
13-3
yeah. Coming out of Invicta. You know what I mean? With five wins in a row, right? Yeah. All unanimous decisions. So she's schooling these females the entire time in the fight. Last fight being a five rounder, and she's just dominating. Five rounders, three rounders, five rounders. She's been the distance. She's got KOs. She deserves to be in this, you know, in this mix with the other girls at 125 pounds, 13-3 with eight KOs and even a submission in there. So it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a really good fight. And then closing off the main card, starting the main card, I should say, Abubakar Nurmagomedov. I have to be very Abubakar. Careful because my slipped my tongue. One of the 37 Nurmagomedovs, fighting Elijah Zaleski dos Santos. I have a much easier time with the Latino names, it seems like.
You grew up in Vegas, so that's probably why.
That's got to be it, right?
And I grew up in Canada, so I can say Nurmagomedov in my sleep.
This is going to be a fight that starts it off, a welterweight fight, and very evenly matched. The odds on this fight are dead even right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Right? So I just looked at it.
Which says a lot about Dos Santos, because the guy is going up against a guy who has the last name Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's had some bad fights. Now, he hasn't had a couple like performances. When he first broke onto the scene, everyone was like, oh, here's the next Khabib.
Right.
Shamil got that. A few guys have gotten that, right? Just because he's been associated with Khabib in the last name. But Abu has got some definite traction again, and I do think that he is a future champion.
He's won his last two in a row. He lost. Yeah. He lost, you know, before his third fight, you know, but he's got two wins in a row right now. So this is a fight. This is a hell of a fight to start off this this main card.
I'm excited. I guess
honorable mention goes to the fact that even on the prelims, some of these you don't want to miss. I'm not going to run them down, but Andre Arlovsky is fighting.
Yep.
Jamie Malarkey is fighting. You know what I mean? Dante Mays is fighting. Like, and we were supposed to get a Miesha Tate fight in there, but that got canceled. So, I mean, they've done a fantastic job leading in with this fight night, leading into next week's pay-per-view, you know, which isn't, I mean, in my opinion, so far, the way I'm looking at it, and I haven't done the deep dive on it yet. This is the Vancouver card with the girls on top for this card. So hopefully, you know what I mean? Once I get into this, we'll talk about this one next week. It's going to be a hell of a card. And this one is a good, good ramp up. Don't miss it. You know what I mean? Get out there, watch these things. It's an early enough card. I think it starts a little bit earlier. Main card starts at 9 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Check it out. Check it out, please. There you go. That's all.
While you're checking stuff out, check out SMNERadio.com. Check out Facebook.com/SMERadio, where this episode will be posted up on those. And you can make some comments on who you think's going to win, who you think's going to lose. Make some comments about what do you think, how many CCs is Connor taking a week right now. Tell us how many concussions Michael Chandler has left. You tell us that we suck. You tell us that we're awesome. I don't care what you tell us. Just come on into the Facebook group. Join the fun. Let's talk some MMA. And for me, one half of the Wayans brothers, all I can say is thank you for listening. Tid, you got anything else you want to say?
No, you know, you said it all right there. I enjoy the plugs. I enjoy all of the hard work that the SNME people are doing behind the scenes to get this show out there, as well as the pre-punch parlay that we do, as well as all of the other shows also included on there. Godfather's a podcast, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say it.
Looking back on it, we have Impactful that just dropped, a new series that's covering Impact Wrestling with Eric Blondon. Check out Impactful. Check out AEWT. Just check all the stuff out, guys. SMNERadio.com. You can sign up to our Patreon for less than about $1 a week or so, maybe $6 a month if you're here in Canada. But otherwise, we're just constantly putting out content. Chris, thank you very much for doing this with me again. I know I'm not supposed to say thank you, but thank you. Thank you. We're a bunch of Canadians. I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Wu-Tang
is for the children.
Hey.
Some of the most electrifying moments ever in the UFC. A dominant run that earned him world titles in two divisions at the same time. Now, the most notorious warrior ever is back. On this season of The Ultimate Fighter, Conor McGregor makes his much-anticipated UFC return.
I'm gonna pin you. This is my game forever.
Looking to spoil the party is bruising powerhouse Iron Michael Chandler. They'll face off as coaches.
You're slipping, you're dipping.
Relentless, in their face.
Guiding eight warriors hoping for UFC redemption. And eight looking for their first shot at glory. Team McGregor versus Team Chandler.
Stop talking to me. You'll run your mouth.
I'm trying to win.
It's the new season of The Ultimate Fight.
Don't you ever break your nose?
May 30th, only on ESPN and ESPN+.